such a faithful friend. I can count on him through the very end. Though the storm clouds dark in the sky, or the happening trend, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail.
I just keep trusting my Lord.
Such a faithful friend. I can count on him to the very end. Though the storm clouds dark in the sky, or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never
this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel.
No, I'm gonna let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel.
No.
Better just leave him at home in this climate of hyper, you know, concern. And given Tyrone's announcement, very happy now.
That's good.
But nice. So we're going to turn to the Word and use music to help us a bit, but I'm going to do some readings here from the Scriptures. And I've asked Melanie to say something about the Word, because I I've noticed in Melanie in the last few years, there's been a deepening of her valuing of the word, or things have gone on in her life that have persuaded her more and more about the word, about God's word. And I want you to hear that from her. So I've asked her to share. And first of all, I'm going to read. You'll see some verses in the bulletin. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Just reading from Psalm 95 in general, and then we'll come to this verse that you'll see on that. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
When David asked me to share just a little bit about the testimony of treasuring the word, I was thinking back and I thought, you know, when I first, I lost so much when I would open the word, and I know I was supposed to read the word of God, and you'd open it and you'd read it and it just was dry, and I was just doing it mechanically. I just didn't feel like anything was I understood it kind of, but it wasn't really feeding me. And I realized I just didn't really even want to read the Word of God. I did it because I was supposed to sometimes, but not out of because I really wanted to. So I had to stop. And this about probably a little over a year ago, I said, this is ridiculous. I need to figure out why it's so dry to me. And I'm not really being fed. My soul is not being fed. So I just asked the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, I don't get it. It's not working for me. When I read, I don't understand it. I don't feel like I'm drinking deeply of the water from the Word of God. And I just asked him, help me to want to even read your word. Help me, just give me a desire to even want to open it in the first place, because it feels like a mechanical job, something I had to check off on my to-do list. And I wanted to want to do it. I wanted a desire for it. So I asked, and he is such a good God. He answered my prayer, and he just started putting into me understanding. And every time I'd open the Word of God, every single time, I have to ask the Holy Spirit, help me understand this, because in myself, I don't get it. And he would I would have read it once and then realize I'm not getting it, and I'll pray, and then he will show me things that I was blind to and I couldn't see before. It's so powerful. The Holy Spirit is so real, and he really does want. He's right there. He wants to help us. And to experience it was life-changing, and it's so exciting to open the Word of God. And sorry, I'm going to get emotional, but he's so good. He loves us so much. And to be a Christian for years, like 20 years, I've been a Christian, more, 30 years, and to not have tapped into that is tragic. And I hope none of you do that, and I hope my testimony and the Word of God will just become real to you, and you'll just get desperate for him, because he is so good. He has such wisdom for where you are right now, and the thing that you're going to face next week that you don't even know about. He knows, and he has the scripture that is going to feed you and give you what you need for that trial that you're going to be facing. So don't put it off, and just ask him, because he is there and he wants to bless you. And I know he does because I've experienced it, and it's real and it's powerful. So I just want to encourage you to do that, to get hungry. And if you're not hungry, ask him, and he'll give you that hunger. He really will.
The only thing I really want you to take away from this today, this next section of the meeting, is for you to go home and be encouraged to meet with God yourself in your own life in a new and deeper way, because God is who he says he is. You are his child as you've put your trust in him. And you are meant to be together in a relationship in which you are going into his presence and you are meeting with him, and you're not only talking to him, but you're listening to him, that you are experiencing God in your day, that you are turning to him, that you and I are looking to him, that we turn our attention to him. We are in a time of doing, doing, doing. And we know this very well. We are struggling to be, to just exist in some ways. And this is common knowledge, but it's very hard for us actually to deal with it. We know we need to spend time with God, but we find it so hard to do. And as I'm sharing with you today, I'm basically sharing with you some of the journey I've been on in the last few weeks. And I tell you, I wanted to pick up a sermon from Scotland, and you know, usually they're a bit better second time around, which in my case would be much required. But I just had to go with what was with me the most. When the thing doesn't jump out to you, the subject, you know, you're better not to share. So, but what we tend to do is we tend to have things like this in our heads. We tend to have programs. We tend to come to meetings, and that's good, but it's not all, and it's not enough. We tend to have a Bible study program. We tend to have daily readings. That's good, but it's not enough. We tend to have Christian friends. That draws us together. It's good. It's not enough. We tend to have Christian ministries that we partake in, that we do. That's good, but it's not enough. It's not enough to keep us on track with God, living the full life that we're supposed to live with God. We have to be in the vicinity of God in our lives. We have to meet with him personally. We have to get on our knees and go into a special place with me and God, and that's it. We have to use our Bible study to help us gather some thoughts about God. We have to use our praise songs to take us into God's presence. But the whole point of it, one of the main points of all that, is to actually bring us into encountering God in our own personal life. To meet with him, to meet with the Savior, to meet with him in that relationship, to know then what it is to interact with him in prayer so that he's speaking and we're listening. Who needs to hear the word of God? Lord, all we want is to hear the voice of God speaking into our lives. That's a prayer of our heart, isn't it? We need the word of God speaking into our lives to change us. And not just this word of a sermon, which is also good, but not enough. We need to be meeting with God in a special place. Not just scheduling time to meet with him, but actually meeting. First thing that I want to encourage us then to meet with God, to look to Him. Do you have an awareness that you need God? You need to meet with Him. So our main text today is this one from the book of Micah. But as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Who is this God? That's the first thing we need to remember, is something about who we're meeting. And that's why we did this psalm, Psalm 95. Let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Our generation really struggles to encounter God in a personal, interactive, relational, exciting way. It almost sounds mystical to us because we're so far away from it. We have a set of things we believe are true, and we hold on to that, and that's good, but it's not enough. We need to be meeting with Him in a very deep way, and that takes a journey. That takes patterns, that takes habit, that takes processes, but we want to go down that road. So we come to Him in an attitude of worship, remembering who He is. The first thing we need to do is remember in the words, I think it was of Rahab, in the book of Joshua, that He is God of the heavens above and of the earth below. And we need to know who we are coming in contact with. And we really are coming in contact with Him. And when we do that, we know we fall on our face. We are in an attitude of worship. We can be in that in our heart, sitting in a waiting room somewhere. And we can be doing it at home where we have the freedom to physically demonstrate it, to help us realize that we're coming before the great Creator. And what's the response when we come before the great One? But to listen and bow down and to be still. Don't we find it hard to be still? Really? We're not only running around physically, but we're running around mentally, aren't we? It's so hard for us to be still, and we need to give it attention. And we know we're crying out for it. Our culture knows it's crying out for it. The Christian message has the answer. With so many things, it's all there. The way that we be still is to come into the presence of Almighty God and be still in His company. That's the way we be still. Away from His company, we're not going to be still. We need that peace. I don't know what physical situation you could do to help you with that. People can do all sorts of various things. John Wesley was the great preacher of a few centuries ago. He was from a very large family, very busy, and his mother, to get her place with God, she used to sit down and put an apron over her head, and she was in her kind of tent, and her family knew, don't bother mommy right now. She's in that place. Whatever it takes in our lives, we need to make that place and be actively seeking the presence of God, not just a program of prayers from me to Him or a program of readings from a good writer, but me and God, God and me. That's what you and me are wired for. It's the way forward. Let's remember how invincible this God is. No infected molecule can enter your lungs or your three-year-old's lungs unless sent by the hand of a heavenly Father. Remember, He's sovereign God over our whole lives. The Heidelberg Catechism defines God's providence as the almighty and ever-present power of God by which God upholds as with His hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Let's remember the great God that we come into contact with. Let's start with worshiping Him when we want to meet with Him. Remember who He is. if we come into a realization of who God is, everything else around us in life is affected, even our struggles, serious and all as they may be. The perspective starts to kick in when we recognize who God is, that he is our great God. Psalm 95 is followed by, you'll not be surprised, Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And then there's words here that talk about how God is this wonderful creator God. We're going to sing a song with you. I'm aware of the time on the move here, so I want to share a song with you about the greatness of God, and then finish with some closing thoughts. Eternal God, unchanging, mysterious and unknown. Your boundless love, unfailing, grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim in ceaseless flight around your glorious throne. They raise their voices day and night in praise to you alone. Alleluia, glory be to our great God. Alleluia, glory be to our great God. Lord, we helpless in the storm, surround us with your angels, hold us in your arms. Our cold and ruthless enemy, his pleasure is our harm. Rise up, O Lord, and he will flee before our sovereign God. Alleluia, glory be to our great God. Alleluia, glory be to our great God. Let every creature in the sea and every flying bird, let every mountain, every field and valley of the earth, let all the moons and all the stars in all the universe sing praises to the living God.